let me know. I've been in the process of cleaning out my office, and so as I've been doing that, I have found a lot of things. And I took pictures for you of a few different things that I've found over the last few days. This first particular picture is actually a shredder. The top is missing because I ripped it off the other day. When I use tools, this is what happens. We sent this picture to our custodian who was on vacation to tell him, enjoy your time. This will be here when you get back. And it wasn't, I promise. I have a picture of how I cleaned it up. But when I use things like a shredder, this happens. So that's a tool of my trade I don't use. I have a hard hat. I'm taking it with me. That's my little box of things I'm taking with me. I have a hard hat. I've never put it on other than to tour AK Steel. I have no reason to have a hard hat. And the bottom there are a bunch of tools. I have no idea where they came from because I've never used anything that's in that. But I found them all in my office. So those are the tools that I found in my office as I cleaned it out the other day. I use more tools like this, ink pens and keys and paper clips and PowerPoint movers, and have a computer that I use, and even sometimes the rare discipline notice. And so I was thinking as I've been doing this that we all have a tool chest that we use. No matter what we're doing in life, no matter what we are moving through in our lives, we have a tool chest. And as Christians, you and I have a tool chest. We have a tool belt. I don't own a tool belt. I have absolutely no reason for one because the ink pens are too small and they slide through the holes. And so I don't really need one. They just give me pockets. And so I was thinking, what's our tool belt? So really quickly, before we go to class tonight, I want to just run us through a reminder, because I think when we come together, it's really important this time for me, is for us just to encourage each other. Us just to refresh each other on why we're together. Why do we, in the middle of a week, stop what we're doing and come together in this room? And it's because we get to enjoy each other. It's because we get to encourage each other. And so hopefully, sometimes we just get a quick reminder of what it is in life that I need. And Scripture tells me that with some very simple verses, some very simple things. My screen's cracked, so I don't want to slide too fast. That's why this isn't going so well. So, number one, we have one who always listens to us. One of the greatest tools that we have is, no matter how my day is going, no matter what things are happening in my life, no matter who is being an annoyance or even being kind in my life, we have one who will always listen to us. I think I've told you before, I did a survey one time, and the one thing that the people said to was that I wasn't always a very good listener. It's because I don't look them in the eye, it turns out. I just like to do other things, and so, you know, I'm still listening. But apparently people don't think you're listening when you don't do that, so I've had to start looking people in the eye. I'm practicing, so if I do that, it creeps you out a little bit. I'm sorry. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, Philippians 4:6 says. In anything, in any situation in my life and your life, no matter how tough your life is today, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how frustrated you are, no matter how unkind somebody was to you, you have an avenue to talk to God. And He loves you every single time you say something to Him. He cares about what you have to say. Randa, I often talk to her, and she probably wishes I wouldn't. But she listens because, you know, it would be odd that she wasn't. We're the only two in the room. But, you know, God never goes, here He goes praying again. He has prayed four times today. Why will He not leave me alone? I don't know if you've ever had somebody who you're like, they've been at my door four times today. Would they please leave me alone? God never does that. Matter of fact, Scripture like this says, God is encouraging us. When we need someone to talk to Him. When our day gets tough, talk to Him. Not to forget, when our day's really good, talk to Him. Thank Him because it was really good because He allowed it. To be number two, because this isn't a sermon and I need to move on, we have the perfect word. We have the perfect word that we can turn to when we have a question, when we have a concern. As we go throughout our daily life, if we want to know something, if we want to know what God thinks about something, He gave it to us. All Scripture is breathed out by God. What's it profitable for? Teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. That the man of God may be competent, equipped for what? Every good work. Everything I need to do on this earth, I can be equipped through this great word. My tool belt has a great listener, and it has perfect words in it. Thirdly, my tool belt has you. Our tool belt has each other in it. And I think that's so significant. In Daniel chapter 3, I may be off the mark a little bit with my thought on this, but I think it in verse 5, says that when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, if you're a musician and that's not trigon, I'm sorry, and every kind of music, you're to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. Now, I think it's really neat here in this situation that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not going to have to do this by themselves. Imagine how lonely it would have been if they would have not had someone beside them and everyone else is bowing down, and all of a sudden you look and there's that one guy. Now, there wasn't many, but they have each other. They have each other. As we go on down to verse 12, it says, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. How cool was it that they had people, had each other? How much more difficult do you think it would have been if one of them would have been standing in front of the king by themselves having to answer in that same way? No doubt, we think they would have said exactly what they said. But how nice is it to have each other? To know that in situations you have brothers and sisters who you can call. You have brothers and sisters who are truly praying for you. You have, we've gotten, three or four emails, I'm going to talk about that in a second, today, of people who've been added to the prayer list just today. What do you think it is that people call in and ask Jane to send that out? Because they want and covet the prayers of their brothers and sisters. Does it make you feel better to know that people are praying for you? That people are encouraging you? Now, I don't know that we're ever going to be asked to bow down to an image, but when we stand up, I'm firmly confident the people in this room will stand up right beside me. We have our brothers and sisters in our lives. And then to touch base on what I just said, we have the internet. It's not all good. We all know that. But I took a screenshot of one of the articles that is posted. By the way, if you ever have a question on how much that's used, ask Nathan. He knows down to the single person how often that's used. He does surveys all the time to figure it out. It's awesome. He's a statistical guy. People are using this. We have the internet to do a couple things. One, to send messages, to encourage people. We also have it that we can share articles such as this. This one was from a couple days ago. That we can share these with others who need to hear about God. We have tools that we can use to not only encourage, but to send encouraging articles, to send good things. Because, you know, sometimes I think we know how other people feel. Sometimes I think I do. Maybe I'm a little arrogant in the way I see people, that I think I know everything inside of them, and I never do. I think that the people who aren't Christians don't want to be Christian. And the people who seem all put together are truly broken sometimes inside. And it may be that sharing one article, it may be that sharing one piece of information about the love that God has is exactly what will help them to understand what life is all about. What will encourage them to come to Christ. We have this tool. I have many bad things I could say about Facebook and the internet, but I won't tonight. And then we have a promise. We have a promise. John chapter 14, verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You and I can live today happy. You and I can live today comforted to know that one day Christ is going to come back and get us. How cool is that promise? I was writing a sermon that I preached this past Sunday night. No, this past Sunday morning. And when I was in the process of writing that sermon, I started thinking about this verse. And I started thinking, you know, if we consider that Jesus came to this earth and died as cruel a death as he could have died for you and I, and he was willing to do it because he loved us that much, how excited do you think he is right now at the thought of getting to come back and get us? At the thought of getting to come back and get Christians? He loved us so much that he died for us. No doubt he's excited to bring us with him into the place he's gone and prepared. Do you live your life knowing? Do you have in your tool belt the hope and the understanding that you are going to heaven? Because nothing can make us feel better than the promise and security that that's what awaits us. If you don't have that promise, tonight's your opportunity. We come together at this time with the opportunity for you to do that. To add all these things to your tool belt, to know that you are a child of God, but first and foremost, you must be a child of God. To hear his word, believe in him, Mark 16:16, repent of your sins, Acts 17:30, to confess him, Romans 10:9-10, to be baptized. For the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. I love Acts 22:16. Now while Terry said, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. If you've never done that, why are you waiting? Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins. If you need the prayers of the congregation, need to study more, whatever your needs may be, that's what we're here to do. We'd love to help you in any way we can as we stand and sing.